Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, the 24th of January, 2017. Okay, we're going to be getting into the book of Isaiah. We left off yesterday at Isaiah 27, chapter 10, 27, just couldn't get all of chapter 10 in. It was just a big long chapter, and I didn't want to unjustly rush through it. It deserves more attention than that. I have to wet my whistle here. So we will take up with chapter 10, verse 28. Little iced tea there. And this is an attack by the enemy, described by Yeshayahu. So, verse 28 of chapter 10. He came to Ayath, 5857. He passed through to Migron, 4051. At Michmash, 4363, he emptied, 6485, his baggage train, 3627. Verse 29, they passed through the pass, 4569. They have taken up lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid, 2729. Gibeah of Shaul has fled. Verse 30. Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. 1554. Pay attention, 7181. Laish, 3919. O poor Anatoth. Verse 31, Madmenah, 4088, has fled. The inhabitants of Gebim, 1374, take refuge. And in verse 31, Madmenah means dung pit. So that's the name of one of their cities. They thought it was a dung pit. Have you ever drive into a town and it's just really displeased? You say, this place is a real, you know. but that's what they call that city, dung pit. It's comical sometimes. I can't help it. Some of the stuff they write in the Hebrew is funny. Verse 32 of chapter 10. Yet shall he remain at Nob, 5011, that day. He shall wave, 5130, his hand against the mountain of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Yerushalayim. Now let's take 5130 here. 5130 can mean two things. when they say he shall wave his hand, it means, version one means urging on his troops, or version two, it means he's shaking his fist in anger. Verse 33, behold, the master, Yahweh of hosts, shall lop off, 5586, the bow, that means the bow, bough or bow of a tree, a limb of a tree, okay, 6288, with great power, 4637, and the high ones of stature, 6967, shall be hewn down, and the exalted shall be brought low. Verse 34, he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall as a mighty one. That's 117. Asher, of this chapter 10, Asher, that's Assyria, will be used to punish Israel. And then Yahweh will destroy Asher. Asher worshipped many false deities and was not part of the covenant people of Israel, but would be used as a tool and then discarded by Yahweh. He did that with these evil nations. Pardon me, I had to clear my throat. Let's get into chapter 11 now. This is prophecy. Verse 1, there shall come forth a branch. That's 2415, and in the Hebrew that's koter. From the stem, 1503, and that is Geza, of Yishai. That's Jesse. That was David's father, okay? And a shoot, 5342, that is Netzer, or a sprout, shall bear fruit, 6509, from his roots, 8328. And that means the family line, the lineage. And you could reference verse 1 in Revelations 5, verse 5, and 22, verse 16. Oh boy, that cough. I've got a little problem with it this evening. It's gone away for a couple of days, and now it's back. Ah well. Verse 2, the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. Now they're talking about Yeshua, Messiah. This is after the time of David. And he's prophesying here of a shoot, a branch from the stem of Yeshua, of the line of David. The Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and reverence of Yahweh. 3374. Well, pardon me, I got to clear my throat again. When Yeshua encountered John the Baptist, and he had John the Baptist baptize him, even under protest, John said, no, you should baptize me, because he knew who he was. When he was baptized, the Spirit came down like a dove and rested upon him. verse 3 of chapter 11. He shall delight in, 7306, reverence for Yahweh. And delight in is wahariko. And it's metaphorical use here. It literally means to smell or perceive the odor of. And he shall not judge, 8199, by what his eyes see, nor decide, 3198, by what his ears hear. Yahshua could see inside a man. He could see his spirit. This is heavy-duty prophecy right here, folks. Verse 4. But judge with righteousness the poor, and decide with uprightness, 4334, for the humble, 6035, of the land. And he shall smite the land with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. Well, he did smite the land with the rod of his mouth. He taught the Torah truly and just embarrassed the daylights out of the Pharisees and the Edomite priests that had taken over. And verse 4, you can reference 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. This is all messianic prophecy here. Verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle, 232, of his waist, 4975, and faithfulness, 530, the girdle of his loins. And verse 5, you can reference Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And the girdle is number 232 in the Hebrew, and that is Azor, and that's as a waistcloth that you wrap around your waist. Now, here's a funny thing. We've all heard about the lion abiding with the lamb. Verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, the wolf, 2061, shall abide, 1481, with the lamb, 3532. Okay, when I was young, we were always taught the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And I remember reading in the Bibles back then, and that's what it had in it. And I have some old Bibles here. Now, we had a discussion in one of the chat rooms about demonic influence in this world being able to change the written word. And everybody agreed that Dave remembered reading, the lion shall abide with the lamb. Everybody remembered that. They were taught that in Sunday school and read it in their Bibles. And no matter what copy of the Bible we looked in, it said wolf. Now that's something to think on, folks. That the influence of a satanic being can do, might be able to do something like that. We can't prove it, but all the older generation remembers it. It just seems mighty funny to me. And it's something to think on. I'm not going to get hung up on it and waste a lot of time with it. But it's just something that came up. I'll finish the verse. chapter 11, verses 6. I got a cough again, folks. I'm sorry. Please. That bronchial problem I've got is very annoying. I'm sorry. But verses 6 through 9 of chapter 11 of Isaiah, you can reference Isaiah 65, verse 25. So I'll go back into verse 6. The wolf shall abide with the lamb, and the leopard, 5:2-4:6, shall lie down with the kid, 14:23, that's a young goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling, 4:8-6, that's a stall-fed calf for use as sacrifice. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall drive them, 50:90, that's to drive as a flock of sheep, to drive them forward. Oh boy, it's hard to get a breath sometimes. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Verse 8, the suckling child shall play by the hole of the cobra. 66:20. And the weaned child, that's 15:80, shall put his hand on the viper's den. That's 6:8-4:8. Verse 9. They shall do no harm, 7:4:8:9, nor destroy, 7:8:4:3, in all my sacred mountain. Because the land shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, as the waters cover the sea. And verse 9, you can reference Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. All right, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were immortal. There was no death. They ate fruit of the trees. Nothing killed anything else to eat it, because the garden was a special place. And when they sinned, they were kicked out of the garden, and then death entered the land with them, and they lost their immortality, if you'll remember that from Genesis. Well, when Yahshua returns and Yahweh is king again, the land will be as the Garden of Eden again. Yahshua, the last enemy that will be conquered, is death. Yahshua has done that. And those of us that are of his chosen people, that don't lose faith, will have that eternal life again. Not these broken down bodies that we're living in. Verse 10, and you can reference Romans chapter 15, verse 12, for verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Yeshai, speaking of the Messiah again, who stands for an ensign of the people. He's a sign of the people. To him shall the nations seek. All the Israel nations will gather to him, and his resting place shall be honored. 3:5-1:9. Verse 11. Now the scribes took out the name of Yahweh and put in Adonai. Here's another tampering by the scribes. I have a big list of all the places that this was done, and I have restored the name of Yahweh here to its proper place. Verse 11, and it shall be in that day, Yahweh shall set his hand again the second time to acquire the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Asher, and from Mitzrayim, and from Pathros, that's over in Greece, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Kamath, and from the islands of the sea, like the British Isles, and all of us that moved over to America, and the Boer people in South Africa. He's going to gather the remnant. They didn't know the names of these nations back then, so he only named nations that were in existence. The islands of the sea, the Israelites were up getting tin from the tin mines in Britain and were scattered all over the Nordic countries. Oh my, he's talking about the Israel nations here. Verse 12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall gather, 622, the outcast 5080 of Israel, and gather, 6908, the dispersed 5310 of Yehuda from the four corners of the land. He's speaking about all the Israel nations, the remnant, when Yeshua Messiah returns. What marvelous prophecy. This is what's coming. I keep telling you, trust in Yahweh. Verse 13, the jealousy, 7068, of Ephraim, and Ephraim is used as a generic for all of the 10 northern tribes, all of Israel. The jealousy of Ephraim shall depart, 5493, and the adversary, 6887, of Yehuda shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not rival, 7065, Yehuda, and Yehuda shall not vex, 6887, Ephraim. We will not have hostilities between us. Now we're all gathered together. This has come to pass. We're all one nation again. As Israel, the 10 northern tribes in Yehuda are united. And soon the Messiah will come. Verse 14. But they shall fly, 5774, upon the shoulders of the Pelishtims, seaward. That's the Philistines, and that's toward the Mediterranean Sea, 3220. They shall plunder the sons of the east, 6924, together. That's all the Arabs and all the other ones that these Muslim hordes that threaten us today, they're going to get smashed. They're going to get smashed. It says so right here in Isaiah. We're going to crush them. They will be for plunder. Okay. Their hand upon Edom and Moab. Who's our biggest enemy? Edom. Edomites. The mixed breeds of Moab and the children of Ammon shall be their subjects. 4928. Mishma'atam. We are going to rule. That's what Israel means. We will rule as El, under our eternal King, Yeshua Messiah. And these enemies of Israel, especially Edom, will be subjugated. Edom is going to be destroyed when Yeshua Messiah comes. Read the whole book of Obadiah. It tells you what's going to happen to the Edomite Jews. You don't have to believe it. You can believe the moon's made of green cheese. But I'm just telling it to you here. And if you don't want to believe me, that's okay. There's a lot of them that just poo-poo. Oh, I'll go on with that. Okay. Y'all do what you want. Verse 15. Yahweh shall destroy 2763, the tongue-shaped bay of the Sea of Mitzrayim, and shall wave his hand, that's again, either urge his troops on or shake his fist, over the river, that's the Nile River that he's talking about, with his mighty, that's 5868, and it's Bayam, and it's sort of dubious in usage here. It's a, we're not sure that it belongs. With his mighty wind shall smite it into seven wadis. And shall cause them to march. That's all one word, 1869. And that's speaking of the returning exiles. In their sandals, 5265. Verse 16, there shall be a highway, 4546, for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Asher, as it was to Israel in the day when they came up from the land of Mitzrayim. All right, this is all future prophecy when we are going to be gathered. And if Yeshua Messiah sets his foot back over where we came from, that land will blossom again, and we will be gathered over to there. The Jews have no place over there. That never, ever was their land. That ends chapter 11. Let's get into chapter 12. In that day you shall say, Yahweh, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. That's 599. Your anger, 639, is turned away, and you comfort me, 5162. Verse 2 of chapter 12, you can reference Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, and Psalms 118, verse 14. Behold, El, that's God, that's a short for Elohim, is my victory, 3444. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, 3050, Yahweh, 3068. But you, if you look it up, you'll see Yehovah or some such nonsense. It's Yahweh, okay? Strong has it wrong. And Yah is an epithet for Yahweh. It's a short form. For Yah, Yahweh is my strength, 5797. And Song, 2176. He has become my salvation, 3444. And that's Yeshua. And it's absolute victory is Yeshuathi. That's also 3444. And salvation is 3444, and that is Yeshua. Verse 3, you shall draw water with joy, 8342, from the fountain, 4599, of salvation. Verse 4, in that day you shall say, praise, 3034, Yahweh, call upon his name, declare his deeds, 5949, among the people. Remember, 2142, that His name is exalted. 7682. Verse 5. Sing to Yahweh, because he has done majestically. 1348. This is known in all the land. Verse 6. Cry out and shout for joy, you inhabitants of Zion. Not Z-I-O-N. It's spelled T-S-I-Y-Y-O-N. Because great is the Holy One, 6918, of Israel in your midst. That is a praise of Yahweh, Holy One of Israel. That's one of his titles. And that ends chapter 12. It's only six verses. Now we get into chapter 13. And Yeshayahu was given another vision. Verse 1. The prophetic burden of Babel, which saw Yeshayahu, son of Amoz. And verses 1 through 14 of chapter 14, you can reference Isaiah 47, 1 through 15, and Jeremiah 50, 1 through 51, 64. That's 51 through 51, 64. That chapter 50, verse 1, through chapter 51, verse 64. I finally got it clear. Oh boy, little brain dead tonight. Sorry, old age. Verse 2, lift up a standard, 5251, that's a battle standard, upon the bare 8192 hill. Lift up the voice to them, wave the hand, so that they may enter the gates of the nobles. 5061. Verse 3, I have commanded my consecrated one, 6942, and also called, 7121, my mighty ones, 1368, for my anger, 639, those that exult, 5947, proudly. Verse 4, the sound of a roaring, 1995, in the mountains, like that of many people, the noise of uproar, 7588, of the kingdoms, 4467, of nations, 1471, gathered together. Those are non-Israel kingdoms. Yahweh of hosts, 6635, musters, 6485, the host for battle. Those non-Israel nations that exult against Yahweh will be destroyed. Final battle. Verse 5, they come from far lands, from the end of the sky, Yahweh. And the implements, 3627, of his indignation. The implements are his weapons to ruin, 2254, the whole land. Verse 6, howl, like a wolf, you know. Oh, howl, because the day of Yahweh is near, 7138. It shall come as a devastation. 7701 from Shaddai, that means the Mighty One, the Almighty. And verse 6 of chapter 13, you can reference Joel chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 7, therefore all hands shall be weak, 7503, and all the hearts of mortals, 582, that's Enosh. That implies weakness, shall melt. verse 8. They shall be afraid. 9:26. Pangs, 6:7-5, and pains, 2:2-5-6, shall take hold of them. They shall writhe, 2:3-4:2, in pain, as a woman that gives birth. They shall be astounded, 8:5-9, one man at another. Their faces as faces of flame, 3:8-1. In other words, he's gonna mess up their minds. Verse 9, behold, the day of Yahweh comes, cruel, 3:9-4, that's achzari, both with fury, 5:6-8, and burning, 2:7-4:0, anger, to lay the land waste, 8:0-4:7, and he shall destroy the sinners from it. Again, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10 about Yeshua's return. Verse 10, because the stars of the sky and their Orions, 3:6-5, as constellations, shall not shine their light. That Orions is constellations. That's Kesilehem, pardon me. I misread that. Kesilehem. Shall not shine their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause its light to shine. 50:50. It's just going to be a great darkness, because he can do that. He can block all the light. Verse 11, I will visit punishment, 6:4-8:5, upon the world, and that is correct here, 8:3-9:8, that is Tabel, and that's all the known world, for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause to cease, that's one word, 7:6-7:3, the pride, 13:47, of the insolent, 2:0-8:6. In other words, all the people that think they're so high and mighty right now, oh yeah, they've got some power and troops and all of this right now, and will lay low the haughtiness of the tyrant, 6:1-8:4. And you don't think we have tyrannical government today? I keep telling you, he's Yahweh, we're not. Verse 12 of chapter 13. I will make a mortal, that's 5:8:2, more precious, 3:3-6:5, and that's as rare, more precious than fine gold, and Adam, 1:20, than gold from Ophir. That's the purest, best gold. Notice the distinction between an Adamic seed line person and a regular mortal man. Yahweh's chosen people, the Adamic people. Okay. Verse 13. Therefore I shall shake, 7:2-6:4, the sky, and the land shall quake, 7:4-9:3, from her place, in the fury, 5:6-7:8, of Yahweh of hosts, and in the day of his burning anger. That's coming. And verse 13 here, you can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 29. All of this is coming. Verse 14, and it shall be as the hunted 5080 Gazelle 6643. And as a sheep that none gathers up, every man turns to his own people, and every man flees to his own land. All these mixed bloods are gonna leave us. That's a similitude of fugitive Babylonians. Well, who are the Babylonians today? They're gonna flee from the children of Israel, from the Adamic seed line. Verse 15, all that are found shall be pierced through. 1856. Let me read that again. All that are found shall be pierced through. Wherever we find them, we're going to stick them. And all that are captured, 5595, shall fall by the sword. No mercy, folks. No mercy upon the enemy when Yeshua returns. Verse 16, their children shall be dashed in pieces, 7376, in their sight. Their houses shall be looted, 8155, and their women raped, 7693. And then we cut their throat. Verse 17, behold, I will stir up the Madai, 4074, against them. Those are the Medes that do not regard, 2803, silver. And as for gold, they do not delight in it. Verse 18, by bows, 7198, their youths, 5288, shall be dashed to pieces. That's one word, 7376. And they shall have no compassion upon the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not look with compassion upon children. Okay. That shows that the non-Israel nations are going to fight among themselves. They'll kill each other off. Verse 19, and Babel, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Kastim's excellency, shall be as when Elohim overthrew Sedom and Amorah. That's the Babylonian system. Fire and brimstone, folks, on the Babylonian system. And verse 19, you can reference Genesis 19, verse 24. Verse 20. It shall not ever be inhabited, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Nor shall the Arabi pitch their tents there, neither shall shepherds make their abode there. The Arabs aren't going to live in it, and the shepherds aren't going to thing. This, they're talking about Jew land over there. Okay? We have our land of promise right here in the United States, with all the rivers running through it and the seas on both sides. That land over there does not meet the qualifications that's given in Scripture for where New Jerusalem shall come down. And here's verse 21. And you can reference Isaiah 34, verse 14, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 14, Revelations chapter 18, verse 2, verse 21. But wild beasts of the desert, 6728, and that's Seim, that's a beast that cries or yelps, shall lay down, 7257 there, and their houses shall be full of jackals, and daughters of ostriches, 3284, shall dwell there, and satyrs, 8163, shall skip about, 7540 there. At 8163 Shatters is Usirim. In Sair, it's a hairy demon with goat's feet. Okay. Sometimes it's used as a male goat. Verse 22. And the howlers shall howl in their citadel. 759. That's Alamanotev. Okay. Instead of that 759 instead of 490, because Alamanotev, spelled the same way, means widows. It's a tough language. You have to research. And jackals in their palaces of pleasure. Her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. That's the end of chapter 13. And as to the specific beasts mentioned in the latter passages, the Hebrew is sometimes uncertain. Take howlers in verse 22, for example. Many have wild beasts of the islands, but the word means a beast that howls without specifics. In verse 22, it also has dragons, but if you look it up, it means jackals. The translators have played havoc by inserting their opinions into the actual text here. And I say what it says, and if it's confusing, take note of it, but don't make any changes to the text. Don't play fast and loose with the scriptures. That's what the translators have done. So we need to be very, very careful with these English translations today, because they have messed with stuff, especially when Churchianity produced their particular versions of the Bible. And they put in a lot of opinion. And that is not a good thing. So what I have done is noted where they have made their changes, and I will give you the Hebrew rather than the opinion. Makes it a little confusing sometimes. I understand this. But we have lost a lot of the meanings of some of the words, especially birds and animals and stuff like that. A lot of species that were alive then are no longer around. They're gone. And we lost the original names for them. So we just have to do the best we can. But in here, there's going to be some kind of beast that howls, whether it's jackals or wild dogs or something that existed then that was a howling animal. Like our coyote today, they howl. Wolves howl. But we know what they are. We have specific names for them in modern times. Well, these names that they used, we've lost a lot of the meaning, so I can only do the best of what is given me with the Hebrew text of today. As more scrolls, etc., are found and more knowledge, I make notes and stuff. This whole project with properly translating the Hebrew scriptures is an enormous job, and I have been at it for years. There has been a lot of tampering where it doesn't make sense and goes against what other passages confirm. I have to refer to the Septuagint because some of the scribes left a few things out or changed a few things into the modern block Hebrew. The Septuagint gives a clearer example because the Greek was copied from an older version of the Hebrew text without any vowel points or changes by any of the scribes or the Edomites before they got to it. So I've got the Septuagint and I've got the Hebrew text, old ones and new ones, and lots of research material. And I can't promise that everything is exact, but I always tell people, look, this is what I have to work with. And where there are discrepancies or doubt, I will make note of that. That is unlike the churches today. They just have a translation that they've approved in their church councils, and they run with it. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't make a hill of beans. That's what they were taught, and they're going to teach others that. And now we've got a Jewish Jesus, and the Jews are God's chosen people. They're chosen, all right. They're chosen to burn. But they don't want to teach out of the book of Obadiah. They would never do that. They don't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They scrupulously, avoid anything that would counter their church doctrine. I'm not a church member. I don't go to the Judeo-Christian churches. We have the Assembly of Christian Israelites, and that's an end times prophetic ministry, and that is Pastor Eli and myself and others that are real strict Bible teachers. We always, you know, when we do sermons and stuff on EFR, we get emails and questions, etc., 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 and we try to answer them. And if we don't know, we'll say we don't know and then go look it up, because we've got volumes of research material. I've got a whole library that, well, so does Eli. You see him, his house is wall-to-wall books, and he uses them all, and I use all of mine, man. I've got all around my computer is nothing but hardbound research books. Then I've got all these programs in my computer. I'm real serious about trying to bring accurate scripture to you. And I tell people to doubt me. Look it up for yourself. Don't take what I say as etched in stone. I'm an Adam. I make mistakes. I may make a boo-boo. And I've had people ask me questions, and I've gone back and researched it, and I've had to say, hey, look, I was wrong on this, and I have to correct that. You don't lie to yourself, and you don't lie to the congregation out of pride. Oh, I'm so great, I can't have anybody doubt me. I'm not great. Yahweh is great. I'm just a guy that he called to read these things and to sermonize, and I let the Holy Spirit guide me when I get into sermons. But this show is scripture readings with a lot of comment and extra notes And the reading of the Hebrew and explanation of the words. It's a word study program. That's the whole point of it. And the response has been very, very good. I appreciate the listeners. And there's a lot of downloads. People like my take. And then they give me feedback on it, and I pay attention. That's a lot of time I'm in correspondence with people about certain things that they may question or have a question about. They're not in disagreement. They just want more information. I try to give them that when I can. These computers are great tools to use in Yahweh's service. That's why He gave them to us. So, I'm about 5 minutes out. And I just want to remind people that my sermon show is on Thursday nights at 9 o'clock p.m. It is Wake Up Call. And I'm going to get a rerun slot, so if you miss it on Thursday, we had a little glitch last week. So the show for last week is going to play this Thursday because somehow another show played twice and my show was an hour late and the audience all had left and they didn't want to hear the same thing twice, so everybody left. So it's going to play. It's called Trust in Yahweh, and it's going to be a replay of last Thursday's show. I'm confabbing with Eli and Paul about getting a rerun slot. I'd like to have something perhaps on a Friday or even a Wednesday. I could play the last week's show. And then on Thursday, you could hear the current show. That way, if you had missed it, you can catch it. And then archive it. So the sermon show is only once a week. I really take a lot of time to prepare it and have a lot of scripture in it. I believe anything that you say from the pulpit, and this sort of is my pulpit, needs to be backed up with Scripture. You don't get up there and put your opinions out as gospel. You quote the Scripture, and the Scripture is gospel, not the opinion of a pastor. I don't like that. That's one of the faults of the Judeo-Christian churches. Our job as pastors is to give the Scripture and maybe help explain it with very, very strict guidelines. Being a pastor is not an easy task. I do speaking engagements and I go here and there and do all this business, and I have to be well prepared. Not only to say what I'm going to say, but to be able to field questions about the content of my message. I take Yahweh's calling very seriously. Time for me to go. I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you, and I will catch you tomorrow, starting with Isaiah chapter 14. Bye for now.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.